Mullen and Mullen Injury Law Firm, Ticket Stock 2025. Every P1, P2, and P3 that comes to the Plano Event Center this afternoon gets 5 free tickets to sample tasty tidbits that'll tide you over till mealtime. It's the taste of the ticket. From Sports Radio 96.7 and 1310, The Ticket.
We're off to a great start here at Mullen & Mullen Injury Law Firm Ticket Stock 2025. This is as big a crowd as I can remember for a Friday. Thank you to all the P1s for being out here.
Yeah,
to see us.
We have a huge Saturday plan for you. The great Barry Switzer is going to be up here on stage at noon. We're going to have Cowboys legend Larry Brown, Super Bowl MVP, at 2. We've got DeMarvian Overshown from the Cowboys at 3 tomorrow. Lots going on tomorrow. The Time Wasters as well. Our next guest this evening is somebody that you probably know a little bit about, a 14-time NBA All-Star, League Most Valuable Player, Finals MVP, 2011 NBA Champion, it's the great Dirk Nowitzki.
How are you? Good to see you.
How are you doing, man? What's up, buddy? How you doing, man? What's up, man?
The whole crew.
Oh, and he's got a statue outside the arena, and he's in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, yeah. Hi, Dirk.
Nice. Hello.
We can't thank you enough for being here. I know you being our ticket stock headliner means an awful lot to you. But we want you to know that it means more to us, because for 25 years, we have wanted to have you as our headliner here. The problem was that you were usually working in February.
Hard.
And even if we had ticket stock on All-Star Weekend, you were usually busy then too. Mm-hmm. So we're really happy that now the schedule's worked, and we just can't thank you enough for being here.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So have you taken... Beyond the statue introduction, what do you call that when you
unveil?
Have you taken the kids down there like, let's go see Dad a little bit and see what's up with Dad?
You know, when, obviously when I take them to games, we take the ride on Nowitzki Way, and so that'll always stay exciting. For me, it's still surreal, but the kids get a kick out of it every time, and then of course drive by the statue, and so. It still feels super surreal to, you know, to have all this stuff in the city that I didn't even grow up in, and just kind of came here as a young kid trying to make it really in the NBA. So it still feels amazing that kind of grew into the city and in this town, and it's been an amazing journey for sure.
Were you happy they took the 3 balls off the statue and just went with one?
So there were some discussions about that. And I had a little bit of input. So I'm happy the way it is now, I gotta say.
It's great.
I think I understand what the artist was trying to do, and, you know, trying to show me in motion and movement, and not just do like a standstill statue. He wanted a little bit of, you know, his style in there. But let's just say the 1 ball looks great.
It ended up pretty perfect. It's the perfect statue.
Yeah, you did a great job.
So not much has been going on lately with your old basketball team. It's kind of weird. So I thought we'd talk baseball, if that's cool. I thought we'd start with the Luka deal, because it's the biggest sports story in the last 20 years in this town. And I just kind of wanted you to take us through the moment you heard the news, what your reaction was, and then everything that kind of led up to you going out to L.A. and being there for Luka's debut with the Lakers.
Yeah. So I was, you know, when I said yes to this, I obviously had no idea this trade was coming. So I got to say, it's just a tough position for me to be in. And I actually, you know, didn't really feel comfortable coming here today. But we obviously have a great relationship with the ticket and with you guys for a long, long time. So,
heck yeah,
we made this happen. But I'm gonna keep this as brief as I can. I don't really want to get into any details of the whole deal.
But, I mean, we really can talk baseball if you want.
Yeah, we'll do it really after. We'll talk guitar with Gordo and whether.
Yeah. Oh, it's coming.
That'll be a little better for me. But yeah, so when I saw the news, I was actually all across on the other side of the world. I was on vacation with the family in the Maldives. I'm not sure you guys are familiar with this. It's in the middle of the Indian Ocean. So it's far, far away. And it was the middle of the day because we're 12 hours ahead. And my phone starts blowing up. We're actually about to go to lunch, and then we're leaving that day to travel back. And my phone just starts blowing up left and right. And then I kind of, looked on social media, and I think I was as shocked and surprised as everybody was. And actually just spent the next hour kind of just following everything on social media, just making sure this is real, this is happening, and was just... I would say in awe as everybody and as surprised as everybody was, and I was trying to wrap my head around what was really happening, and really couldn't believe it that that this is what happened. But then fast forward, coming home, obviously Luca, we texted a bit, of course. I felt a little disappointed and sad for him, you know. I think he obviously didn't see this coming. So he invited me to come out to his first game in L.A., and I felt like I had to support him.
Yeah.
You know, we... I felt like, you know, I played with him in my last season. We've gotten close. I've tried to mentor him. I try to help him as much as I can in the last few years, and he's a good kid. So I felt like I had to go out there and support him in this new chapter because, you know, I think it was reported that he was pretty obviously down and disappointed how it went down. And so I wanted to be there for him. I wanted to be there for his family and show support. But, I mean, you guys saw my face. It was weird. It was surreal to see him play for the Lakers and... So at the end of the day, I mean, I'll never be a Lakers fan, but I'll always be a Luka fan.
Yeah.
it was good to see him and good to be there for him.
We were talking about that on the air, like watching that game, watching Luka, because we wanted Luka to do well, right? Like everybody wanted Luka to do well, and you know, because you feel like he's ours, and like just like you were, and. But then you'd be like, okay, you know, make that three or make that length of the court pass or whatever. But then somebody else would get the ball and you're like, don't make that shot. It's the weirdest. I've never been more weirded out watching a basketball game in my life.
Yeah, it was definitely just being there, being in the stadium, watching him and the purple and gold was just, like I said, a surreal moment and surreal for me. But I was happy I did it, and I'm happy I went to support him. And I think now, after a few weeks, I think he's looking forward to the opportunity there. He's playing for one of the biggest clubs in the world, so I think he's seeing the opportunity now. And obviously, he needs to wrap his head around that he's still be with the Lakers now, and he needs to obviously move forward and do his thing out there. And we all, of course, wish him well.
The other side of it, what the Mavericks have now moving forward, and you're familiar with Anthony Davis. If you could just talk about what is here now on the team and how they're constructed and they get him back on the floor, could be pretty interesting.
Yeah, I think if the Mavs are healthy, I think they have a heck of a team. AD is a – and I kind of feel bad about AD and Christie here in this deal. They're both – great players, fun to watch, and of course they get it all, they get the news and they see it, I just hope they feel welcome still and still be able to obviously contribute here to a good team, because like I said, if they're healthy, they're pretty loaded on all positions. I love AD's game, always have. He's obviously an all NBA talent on both ends of the floor. Scoring-wise, we all know he's long. He can score in multiple ways, but defensively, he's long, he's active, he can block shots. So, and I was really surprised with Max Christie's game. I mean, I wasn't really that familiar. I hadn't watched a lot of Lakers games this year. So, great versatile player. Can shoot the ball well. can defend as long on the perimeter. So you can never have enough long guys who can shoot these days. And so, you know, it's all about health, really, with that team now. If Kyrie has been phenomenal, I got to give my guy Jay Kidd a shout out. I think he's been doing a phenomenal job with really the injuries. The injuries that they've had this year, I've never seen anything like it. It's just devastating, one after the next going out. And the lineups, they had to roll out there and sign guys, you know, to 10 days and play that same day at night. So, but Jay Kidd's been having them together and believing in each other and playing hard for each other. So, you know, even with everything that's going on, to win 4 out of 5 going into break and to lose against Zach basically at the buzzer, it's been a heck of a run. So, you know, hopefully they can keep that up and get healthier one by one and see what's possible down the stretch here and in the playoffs.
So the Maldives, is that where you stay in the room right on the dock there and you're over the ocean and you see down? Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah, we were in one of those over the water villas. So the kids
would recommend, huh?
Yeah, not bad. Not a horrible setup, I got to say. The kids actually didn't want to come home. But, you know, we enjoy traveling. We travel a lot since, you know, I retired 5 years ago. We love, you know, showing the kids different parts of the world, different cultures. So we traveled almost 2.5 weeks through Asia. I went to Abu Dhabi, I went to Sri Lanka, and ended in Maldives. So that was super fun, and the kids loved it and learned a lot.
Is there a place on the planet, and I'm sorry, I'm sure this isn't as relevant as breaking trade news, but I'm curious about it. Is there any place you can go where people don't know Dirk? You're pretty tall, of course.
Yeah, it's hard to hide. It's hard to hide. Actually, while I was there, was Chinese New Year, so there were a lot of travelers and tourists from China, so I did get recognized a little bit by the beach. I got my shorts on and my little belly out now, and can we get a photo? And I'm like, sure, whatever. So it does happen when I travel some, but the good thing is now the younger generation, I'm nobody anymore, and then the dad is like, come on, this is so-and-so. So you got to remind him, but yeah, there's other people now. I've been out 5-6 years now. Time flies.
Son, he took out LeBron one time. Yeah. It was beautiful.
Long time ago.
Yeah, they're not showing highlights on the phone, Dirk. They're not saying, hey, this is who this is.
I got to show my kids, actually. You know, at the end of my career, obviously they saw me a little bit, but I was 39, 40 years old, and so they always have the picture in mind that I'm just super slow, can't guard anybody, which was probably true my entire career. But so they always say, "Papa, you were so slow," and then I'm trying to pull up the early 2000s, and it's the footage on YouTube is just so great.
It's buffering,
brutal.
And like,
yeah,
seriously, I really can show you that.
Yeah, it was low definition, but it happened. Yeah, you know, but one thing we know about your league, and sometimes it drives me crazy because it becomes a soap opera drama, and even the way it's covered, it's about this guy, if we can get him to this team or the trade. We've never seen anything like this, and the way the sports world kind of exploded, I think our friend Mark Stein would often just shake his head and say, this league, there's nothing like it, you know? I mean, at least on this continent, when a guy moves, we see it's worldwide news, and it's wild.
Yeah, I mean, it's like I said, this was probably the biggest trade that I can remember. I've been in this league for, what, now 20, 26 years, been in and around the league, and it was crazy. I saw it on BBC News when I flew home. I saw it everywhere. So it's wild how the league really has grown. It's gone international. It's gone global. It's been fun to be a part of, you know, that growth of the league. There's no move you can make now without anybody knowing. And it's been fun to watch the growth. What I don't love, it's more around the trade deadline and around free agency, everybody pays attention. It's almost more important now than the game, which I don't love that.
Not at all.
This guy is talking to this team. I try to stay actually out of all the rumors in July, and I just try to stay out of it and see who's where the beginning of the new season, and let's go.
The transactional part of it's so important, but
As things go in cycles in sports, do you think it'll cycle back the other way, that this is a team game and let's try to keep a group together for 4 or 5 years as opposed to, well, let's just keep, you know, moving pieces around? Do you think it'll ever go back the other way?
Yeah, I'm not quite sure. You know, I think when I first got in the league, you know, the owners and of course the league had all the power, and I think there was a switch the last 10, 15 years where, you know, the players now and agents are very powerful, and then they can kind of dictate what's happening on the market, where people go. Guys get together and join up, and so it almost felt like it went from one extreme to the next. So I wish there was some kind of middle way where obviously both have powers and somehow can figure this out together. So that's been that's what I wish for, but I'm not sure what's happening in the future.
Did you ever think about here in the last couple of weeks, like you at 25? You know, in 05, like before you went to the finals, or maybe right after you went to the finals. I guess the best comp would be after you went to the finals. And then you're finally used to a city. You're not from here, like you said. You're scared S-less when you enter the city as a teenager, and you make of your name here, and this is everybody. You love everyone, and everyone loves you. And then how would you have reacted if that happened to you as a 25-year-old?
Yeah, I mean, I probably would have reacted the same way as Luca has. Wouldn't been in disbelief. I'm sure he wanted to finish his career the way I did. And so, yeah, I'm sure his whole floor was ripped away from him underneath him. And but that's unfortunately, you know, or fortunately for me, I never had to go through it. But I wanted to make sure I'll support him through this. I had plenty of, obviously, friends and teammates over the 21 years that had to go through this and uproot their whole families and lives. Unfortunately, it's a little bit of part of our business. We, as you guys know, we get paid a lot of money for living with that risk.
Yeah.
I mean, at the end of the day, we're throwing a ball through a hoop and make millions of dollars. It's insane, right? So I guess
living, also would recommend.
Yeah. So I guess, you know, if you ask anybody or a college player or somebody who's grinding overseas who's never made it, if you ask him, would you live with the risk of being traded any day and be in the NBA, everybody, 100% of people would say yes, of course. So, of course, it's not great, and it's tough to go through this, but unfortunately it's part of our business.
And with all that movement in the NBA, it's even more amazing this guy stayed in the same jersey for 21 years. Unbelievable.
Thank you.
It's the great Dirk Nowitzki with his hair ticket stock. We're going to get the rest of the guys up here. The roundtables continue from the Plano Center.
Mullen & Mullen Injury Law Firm, Ticket Stock 2025. While you're milling about smartly at the Plano Event Center this weekend, enjoy a cold beer from Deep Ellum Brewing Company, benefiting Austin Street Center, and from Sports Radio 96.7 and 1310, The Ticket.
All right, 6:39 here at Mullen & Mullen Injury Law Firm, Ticket Stock, live from the Plano Center.
I'll take it. I got it.
And we're joined by Sean Bass and David Mino and
Hi.
Matt McLaren and
we forgot about this.
Craig Miller and Bob Sturm and Dave Lane and Donovan Lewis and George Dunham and Gordon Keith and Dirk Nowitzki.
Yeah.
Pretty big cheer for me.
I think that was for Dirk.
Oh.
It's close. You're close. So what is your keep up level with the league now?
I watch probably...
Not you.
That's actually a good question. I'm about to keep it up more again, as you probably sure you've seen. That,
yeah.
Taking a job next year to do some analyzing for Amazon Prime. And,
all right.
So I don't want to sit up there and play who he played for. So I'm gonna have to watch a little more again. But honestly, the last few years it's been all Mavs. I mean, I don't really sit there. I used to watch any kind of game while I played, and any night during dinner, switch it on real quick to check out the opponents. But these days, I don't sit there and watch other teams. So. That's what I was saying earlier with Max Christie. I wasn't really familiar with his game. I've just been watching, following the Mavs the last few years, but it's about to change again for next season, and I need to really ramp it up again. And
you fired up about the new game?
I think it's going to be fun. I think we all have a good crew. I think Blake is, you know, obviously we all seen his stand-up comedy stuff. I think he's very spontaneous. He's funny. He knows the game. And so I think we're going to have a good crew and hopefully just, you know, just have fun, really, and analyze the game and not sit there and shout at each other.
What's the level of commitment? How many games are you going to be doing, do you know?
I'm not quite sure how it's all going to work out. I think we're going to see that in August when actually the schedule comes out, how everybody's going to be involved. But I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be fun. And, you know, I love talking hoops. I love watching hoops. So it's kind of should be fun.
So when you said you were you watched a lot when you first got out, do you have like a secret retired NBA basketball channel you can watch, or do you have to like pay for League Pass and pay your own money to try to watch any game you want?
That's a good question. At the beginning, obviously, I had League Pass still. Then the whole Mavs thing here happened with the blackout. I still don't quite understand what's actually what's going on. So you couldn't watch it anymore. But now I actually have a login, which...
Well, can you share that?
Because awesome. The thing was, when I travel a lot now, so overseas, the League Pass used to be blocked. And so when I was traveling, I could never watch the Mavs. And so now... They hooked me up.
the league, thing?
Yeah, the league hooked me up. So now I can actually do research anywhere and watch the game. So it's a big move.
No commercials. You got the
we got the in studio thing. Sometimes I hear Mark talking some Falwell talking some nonsense off air.
You get to see Red Panda at the halftime.
Yeah. Red Panda, yeah.
She the best of all time, or what do you think?
She's definitely up there.
Yeah.
There's a few other ones, the dog ones that run around like crazy.
Christian and Scooby. Yeah, exactly. What about Rubber Boy?
Rubber Boy is cool. it's been fun to watch for sure.
High school nickname.
Have you thought about a signature call when you're doing games, like in the final minute, if there's a clinching bucket, a shut it down, let's go home? Do you think that could be make another appearance?
Yeah, I'm not quite sure. You know, the thing is, I won't be calling games. I'll be in the studio. I'll be in the studio. I think calling games, I've tried a few for the Mavs, is actually super hard. You know, my answers are always super long. By the time I'm trying to say something, there's already been three plays, and so I'm trying to catch up, and so that's a different beast. So I'm gonna stick with studio and can analyze, have long-winded answers like I usually do, and then that should work good. But yeah, I got to come up with something, some fun lines to throw in when there's some highlights on and stuff like Shaq and Charles do. I mean, obviously they're some of the best at it. So I got to find something. I got some time. Obviously, this new gig doesn't start till next season in October, so I got a lot of time to think about some stuff.
Are you going to be comfortable criticizing guys you played with?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be weird. You know, I'm not that controversial guy in the first place. But, you know, yeah, I mean, or even with the Mavs, or if something happens, I'm actually glad that trade didn't happen. That would have been tough to be there already on live on the air and talk about it. But yeah, I think I'm going to grow in that role, I think. And there's a way to criticize without hammering someone. And I think, on some networks, that's a little too much. I want to share how hard it is actually to play in the NBA and how good these players are and what they actually do on a nightly basis and get some X's and O's going without sitting there and just always hammering people. I think other networks do that.
For no real specific reason, Dirk, I just wanted to ask, I remember there was a time there were two guys in the NBA with no trade clauses, and it was you and Kobe Bryant.
That is true.
When did you first get one?
I I forgot the rule. You know, I always let Holger do that stuff, my longtime coach. I think you had to be a certain amount of years with a team before you got it. It was just really, it was just something cool to say. Hey, I got a no trade clause. But good thing is we never really had to use it.
No. I just, you're right. There's only two in the whole league. Like, there are hardly any these days, right?
Yeah, I'm not quite sure.
Three now, right?
Yeah, I'm not quite sure. Who's?
I think Bradley Beal.
Bradley Beal has one.
Yeah. And LeBron. Okay. Somebody else.
Yeah, you know. No more than me, but that's some stuff I need to research for next year.
Don't worry about it.
Speaking of trades, I know you look at the resume behind you. Everything worked out great. Uh-huh. But do you ever let your mind wander and think about what would have happened if Steve never got traded?
Well, Steve never got traded. He actually left us, which is even worse.
I guess they didn't re-sign him.
Yeah,
right.
Well, they gave him an offer, but he just made, he decided to take the better offer in Phoenix. But, I don't know. Sometimes, of course, when we get together and we travel a bit, it's like we have a few beers and, you know, what if? I think there were a few years where the league was wide open for the take-in. I mean, the year we went to the finals in 06, and it was kind of like after the Lakers dynasty. Of course, the Spurs were always good. Then before Boston formed, and then Powell went to the Lakers. I think there were a few years there where the league was wide open, and you know. But it's also true that we both, once we actually went away from each other, we developed to another level. I just don't know if we would have developed the same if we would have stayed together. We will never know. But I'm so proud of him, what he did with Phoenix and how he played there, and it was fun to watch.
Was that first year in 04 difficult when he's not around? The first year without your best friend on the team?
Yeah, it was hard. It was hard, and obviously he's a great passer, so I kind of took that for granted. And then here comes Devin Harris, who we all love. Devin's my guy.
But go to the cup.
Passing was not his thing. He knows that. So it was a tough reality all of a sudden to not have him. You just take the stuff that he reads the game, how he exactly when I was open a split second, the ball was already on the way, and with Jet, who was also not known for his passing, great guy, love Jet. We never win the championship without him, but passing wasn't his thing either. So it was an adjustment period, I think, for all of us there at the beginning, and we definitely missed Steve, and so did Nelly. I think, you know, Nelly's system is very much smart point guard, putting guys in simple plays, but make plays with a high IQ plays. And we just didn't have that setup anymore. And so that was sort of when Don then left and Avery took over. And so those were some years there.
Have you taken the kids to go see Crazy Uncle Nelly in Hawaii?
I have not.
They may learn a lot.
I heard he's good. He's got a good old time out there. That's what I heard. I'm going to leave it at that.
Kids, we get a contact high.
Doesn't he play poker with Willie Nelson?
Yeah, I think that's still a thing. But I was still a little disappointed. Obviously, he didn't come to Majerus retirement. He couldn't come for health reasons. He didn't come to Hall of Fame. So I was a little disappointed. I wanted to see him and obviously thank him because he was huge in the beginning for me, the way he kind of structured it, the way he let me play and let a seven-footer run around and shoot threes. I mean, there no other coach gave seven-footers that freedom. So I wanted to thank him, and I couldn't there. But I saw him last. I think he came for when Steve and Jay Kidd went to the Hall of Fame. He came, and I was able to see him, and I joked around. He had the long hair. He looked like a bad guy from Taken, the movie. he's lost some weight. He looks good. So I'm happy for him. So hopefully he's doing well. And
we're about to talk about 2011. But speaking of Nelly, when they Golden State knocked you out in that first round after the year before going all the way to the finals, was that your lowest moment? And did you start to wonder, not from maybe your perspective as a player, but from an organization standpoint, is this ever going to happen here?
Yeah, that 07, 06 was tough. Obviously, losing the finals, being up 2-0. But in my head, we're thinking, I'm in my prime. I'm one of the best players in the league. I'm going to get us there again. And then, yeah, I was thinking that. I was thinking that. And then the next year comes. We're rolling all the way through. We won 67 games. And then, you know, we had such high hopes. Beat the Spurs 3 out of 4 that year. I'm thinking this is our year. Nobody can stop us. And then we run into a tough, hot team with the Warriors. And that was the most frustrating, disappointing I think I've ever been in my career, probably in my life. Felt embarrassed, felt like I didn't want to leave the house. I felt like I let the team, the city down. And so those were some tough times in 07. But you know how it always is. You get up from it and you recover. You find motivation in it. You focus on the next year and following goals. And that's how I got through those tough times. And,
is that the only time you've put a hole in a wall?
You know... Vulgar. When we first started,
you and Nash may have put a hole in a wall.
When we first started, there were no cameras back there, so we were a little more fortunate. So
maybe
you
the
don't...
loon.
Yeah. Who said the loon?
Sorry.
Yeah, we put some holes in some glasses. That's for sure. the loon were some good times, but yeah. You know, I was never really an emotional guy off the floor, but on the court, sometimes I got a little carried away with some teammates, with referees, with opponents, and that hole in the wall is just another story, right, of me losing it a little bit after a game, being so disappointed. But I'm usually super even keel, but on the court, I get a little emotional at times.
All right, let's take a break. Let's come back. We got one more with Dirk. We'll be back in a few.
Yep.
All right.
96.7 and 1310, The Ticket.
Unbelievable.
It is 6:58. This, in fact, is Ticket Stock. Ticket Stock 2025. Mullen and Mullen Entry Law Firm, Ticket Stock 2025. It is our Dirk Roundtable. This is our third and final segment. And by now, you know all the ticket guys. So I'm just going to jump right into questions so we're efficient here and get a few more in. So I wanted to just ask you this, Dirk. If you had to take us back, if you had to tell an alien you played professional basketball and go to one spot, what's the one memory, what's the one moment that you would say that's my number one moment in a basketball game I ever played in?
Yeah, I mean, the 11 series is obviously an easy one to go to.
I need one hoop, though.
Oh, one hoop.
Can we go, like, game two late?
Heck yeah.
Yeah, I like that one. But I always think in 06 against the Spurs.
Oh.
Your Spurs.
Yeah. Sorry.
The Spurs. The and one.
The and one. Yeah,
okay.
And
one.
You know what I always tell people? That's the greatest game that I've ever seen in person. It was incredible. Yep.
Honestly, I would say, actually, that's the best series I've been a part of.
Yeah.
It was that good. Game 7 going to overtime on the road, and we pulled it out. I mean,
did you see the finality of the series that happened, the Game 7 on Netflix?
Yeah, of course. We were part of it.
Like, could you believe that the ball went in? Like, even going there and the way he fouled you, Ginobili, it's like, there's no, oh, my gosh, it went in. It was amazing.
I wasn't a great driver. We all know that. So I kind of just tried to throw everything at the basket and kind of just, I actually wanted to dunk it. I never thought he would actually contest it because I figured they'd give up the quick two. We need to foul him. But he went up there and really, I was able to just power through at him a little bit and dropped in. So that was a huge bucket and got us an OT. And that was a fun. To beat the Spurs, who have always beaten us, to get through them was probably one of my best memories for sure.
What about a dunk? Do you have a favorite dunk? Did you ever posterize anybody?
Yeah, when I was younger, I had some decent ones. I think I got Vin Baker one time when he was in Seattle. So that's how long ago that was. So that's probably it. I wasn't a big dunker, unfortunately. I wish.
Did you have a favorite hair style that you played with? Because you were shaved.
Not
and
like
you
a
had
singular hair.
Random shaggy, and now you're
name all your hair.
You know, I usually got it buzz cut, And then at the time, I didn't have anybody to cut my hair here in Dallas. And so I always just let it grow. I let it grow all the way till it was long. Then it was annoying me again, and I buzzed it again. So that was my strategy back then. And, yeah, there were some bad cuts, some bad dudes, but, you know, I enjoyed it. I really like my long hair, honestly. I think, I don't know, that gave me my superpower, and but now I'm too old for it.
Come on. No, you're not.
You're never too old.
So, Dirk,
look at Nelly.
Going back to the game two, the hoop that I think we're all referring to, and you go over all the different scenarios and timeouts, and knowing that they had a foul to give, and when you got the ball on the court, were you, like, shocked that they didn't foul you at that moment? And once you gave them that first bump and they didn't, you just went go mode and went to the basket. Was that kind of how it went down?
For sure. We actually had two plays drawn up because figured I'll put the ball down, get fouled right away, and then we'll take another play out and see what happens there. And then once I spawned, the foul never came, and I was shocked how open the lane was, and I was able to drive it down and lay it in. So, yeah, that was an unbelievable comeback. And, of course, we're not winning that series without winning game two. So that was a huge comeback there those last few minutes in game two.
And let's not sell the three-pointer before that with the Tyson screen. I think you needed that one, actually, to tie it up, right?
No, we went up three on that.
Okay, that's right.
Yeah. And then Jet got lost on defense.
Chalmers tied. Okay, that's right.
Yeah. Jet's my guy. He was running to the wrong guy and then left Chalmers wide open in the corner, and they tied it. So we all came to the huddle like, what are we doing? Like, and we kind of had to regroup there, and we're like, hey, we're still good. You know, we got the ball. It's a tie game. It's a good spot to be in. And so, but it just shows how sports is just an emotional roller coaster, and you got to deal with your emotions all the time. And we were able to forget about that one and win the game. But that was a good one.
And then the look on your face after Wade misses the long shot, that was really close. Yeah. And then afterwards, everybody's coming to you and they're punching you in the chest, and you're just looking like you didn't feel anything. Yeah, and no, I was like, ouch, that really hurt. Like, that hit you.
Yeah.
Like, it was over, but that had to be a really cool moment. But one of those things that you're almost numb after it happened because it was such a great moment.
Yeah, I was zoned out somehow. I'm not quite sure. I was just standing there and trying to high-five people. I was so locked in and on this game, and I was just so happy that we actually were arrived in the series, and it's 1-1, and we have a chance. And so, yeah, I didn't really want to celebrate too much. I just wanted to enjoy that win and keep going.
Yeah, the non-celebration that you had after the Western Conference Finals when you guys won that, where you were just like, wait, we have to go, like, out there and do stuff and hold a trophy, and you didn't want any part of that.
Yeah, there was a little miscommunication, I got to say. So when we won, I did an interview right for the live broadcast, and so I thought I was done. I didn't think I'd have to speak again on the mic in front of everybody. So I just said, okay, we're lifting the thing, and I'm out. I'd already spoken and to the network, and I was going in the back. And to me, if you really look at it, you have to win four series. Just because you won the third series, it's not going to get you the championship. So at this point, I looked at it as another series. The Western Conference Finals trophy is not what we wanted. And so I thought I'd done my interview, and if I would have known I'd have to speak again, I would have obviously stayed and showed respect. But
it turned out to look like it was a real badass.
Yeah, guy. Yeah, exactly.
This guy.
Which I was not. But, but yeah, that's how it looked, that we basically don't care about this trophy, and we want to keep going. So it worked in my favor, but I would have never done that. I would have done an interview on the court for sure if I would have known.
You know, you mentioned the roller coaster, and we talked about those tough moments. How much sweeter did that make 2011, those moments you went through 5-6 years before?
Yeah, I mean, 06, 07 were tough. But I'm still thinking in my head, we're going to be right back. And then, you know, it took forever in my mind. You know, then we did the trade for Jay Kidd. Things were not going well at all. And it was going actually south instead of getting better. So it just shows you how tough it is in this league to win and to win it all. And a lot of factors play into that. So yeah, there were some tough times, 08, 09, 10. Then we made the deal for Karan and with Washington. That was a good deal for us. And then we were definitely better again So it's yeah, it's a roller coaster up and down, and then finally getting there, back there to that stage in 11 and winning was we're just reaching, you know, the top of the mountain. It was just the pressure come off. You're so proud of being the best team in the world, and so it was just the best moment.
You know, there was one, as I remember, you would come up to Bad Radio every year and hang out with us. I feel like one time you told us about you just had to change everything about, like, your diet, drinking wine or whatever, or maybe drinking beer. I forget what you had to drop, but I remember you saying, you know, I'm at an age where I have to kind of rethink everything I do off the court. You remember that?
Yeah, well, it's not like I was drinking every day.
No,
I don't
want to
sound
like
that.
Yeah, Bob.
Are you accusing us of
no,
so sorry about
no,
that.
I need an intervention.
Remember when you were an alcoholic?
It was mostly spaghetti, probably, yeah. but whatever.
No, yeah, so occasionally, obviously, after a win or whatever, I'd have a beer. But then when I turned, I think it was 27, 28, right around that 06 time, actually, stopped completely during the season. Stopped drinking, changed my diet. I was getting, you know, 28, close to 30, and I just wanted to feel good every day, waking up and not have inflammation and stuff. So a diet makes a big change. There's a big difference. And, you know, I think when we first got in the league, late 90s, early 2000s, we just didn't know that much about diet, about how to train, how to lift weights. We were just kind of trial and error thing, and, you know, so guys were eating burgers and chicken fingers pregame back then, and then, you know, now everybody is gluten free and vegan and all that, and so, yeah, everything has completely changed, and so I was part of that when we started learning more what actually diet can help you with, and so that was a big transition for me at around 06, 07.
When Nash left town, that probably helped you stop drinking.
That's also true. The loon was mentioned. Yeah, we were definitely.
How much could you bench press when you were your strongest?
I mean,
more than
KD. Caught me. Honestly, I couldn't probably do 10 push-ups. I was never. I was never a big weightlifting guy. Never have, especially not bench press. To me, bench press is the most useless exercise, especially if you're a basketball player. It does nothing for you to lay there on a bench on your back and pound 300 pounds. It makes no sense. And a basketball player needs to, you know, be free and flowing up here and not be all stiff and be able to lift weights. So I was always had the arguments with our weight trainers. I'm like, this is nonsense. I want to do certain stuff. I want to keep, you know,
play the saxophone.
I want to play the sax. I want to play the guitar with Gordo. I want to keep some tension on my body, and I want to, you know, keep my core strong. But I don't want to lay there and bench press 400 pounds. Makes no sense. So that was always my view. The ball weighs like, what, 600-700 grams? So it's not like you need to pound 300 pounds.
What's that in American?
Yeah, I'm not quite sure. Actually, yeah, what is grams? I'm not sure. It's not a lot, though. It's not a lot.
So. That's like a quarter bag, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Jeez. What are you doing, Dave?
That's right.
Very
again,
sorry.
Again, he's right. How proud are you?
If Don Nelson was here, he could tell.
Yeah. How proud are you? You know, you weren't the first, but you certainly were the most impactful European player to come over here at a time when Euros had a certain stigma about them, and you kind of changed everything. And I think, you know, you mentioned, like, your favorite moments on the basketball court, but from a macro standpoint, that's incredibly impressive, and it's got to be a nice feather in your cap.
Appreciate it. I mean, I heard all that stuff when I played, and I just got in the league, and like, he's soft, go at him. And so that was always in my mind, and I was never, I would say, a tough player. You know, that wasn't my physique, but I try to be tough mentally. I try to be out there. I try to be always there for the team and play hurt, play sick, and just always represent and be there for my team.
Thank you. Thank you.
To me, that's how I look.
Nothing to do with that.
Yeah, that's how I looked at toughness, not, you know, bench pressing and elbowing somebody in the neck. That was just not my toughness. And so, once the game opened up and the NBA changed some rules, I think it just played right in the European hands, especially the big guys were able to move, swing it, play passing game, shoot from the outside, bring the ball up, put the team in the offense, because that's how we play a little bit in Europe. It's a little more free-flowing, and so I think that's when you really saw the influx of European players come over and have an impact, and then Tony Parker came, Powell came, and then it was kind of normal to see international players that not only play in the league but also be franchise players, and that was a cool little moment there where we were just being proud of all the Euros and all the foreign players coming in and having an impact.
Well, this has been an unbelievable hour, and
I appreciate that.
You've always been unbelievable to the Ticket. It's an honor to have you at Ticket Stock, and we thank you so much, Dirk.
You guys are sweet. Thanks for coming out. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Standing ovation.
You know what, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah.
Man, you guys are too sweet. Thanks for having me. Yes. Thank you.